All right, I guess. What are we doing? What's up? This is Movies On Up. Sometimes you go looking for something you want and find what you need. I, long time ago, found the co-host I need, Ryan.
There was a little bit of a pregnant pause there, and I thought you were going to say, like,
well, because in my head
else,
I thought, did
Mike
I introduce
Man.
Myself first? And I didn't. I am Dave, joined by the co-host that I found that I needed 4 years ago, Ryan.
That's me.
And we are Movies On Up.
That's us.
That's a loose reference to our extravagant four-year anniversary show that was last week.
Oh, we blew out the budget on that one.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Still recovering.
Ton of fun. Hopefully,
how about all those guest stars?
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed filming it 3 weeks from now, or recording it 3 weeks from now. But
it was a video episode too.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
More work. No, thank you. Anyways, this week you have Civil War coming out, Captain America Civil War. So we thought, hey, we're run out of ideas for Marvel-centric episodes, so let's just do a Marvel movie. So we're doing Captain America the Winter Soldier, which is fitting since it's number two to the number three that's coming out this week.
Right.
A lot of the same characters involved. To this day, this is my favorite Marvel movie still.
I'm not willing to say it's my favorite. I like it a lot. One of the things that we talk about often with Marvel is how they're able to make every movie feel like it's different. Every movie franchise, they're not all just the same punch, punch, kick, kick, but with a different costume. The Captain America movies all have their own feel. I'm interested to see how Civil War, I mean, obviously that had to be a Captain America movie, had to be under that banner, I guess, but it'd be interesting to see how that fits in with Cap 1, which I actually think I might like more.
I like it a lot. I think both of them are top five Marvel movies for me. I really do. I know we've done an episode where we did our top 10, but if probably. I had to think, it's probably in the four or five range. Because you had Joe Johnston, who I thought he was fantastic doing The Rocketeer years ago. So he's kind of in his element fighting Nazis. It was a really good origin story. It was an epic war drama, almost. Like, it was a superhero origin story, but that's almost a...
It's a World War II movie, too.
Yeah, it was an epic war period piece that happened to be about a superhero. It was really, really good. And this one, it's a political thriller. That's not even disguising it at all. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the plot seemed like maybe it could have been one of the Tom Clancy movies. Just maybe a little comic booky. Maybe they just tweaked it up a little bit.
Oh, there was comic book stuff in it. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. In terms of the villain is not, you know, the Red Skull. It's not Ultron. It's a politician.
It's an organization, essentially.
Right. Well,
it's a politician with his fingers all over an organization. And I like that about this because obviously the first one, it was versus Red Skull. It was more than Red Skull, but he was the face of it. They didn't try to put a comic book face onto the villain in this movie. And leading up to it, like, that wasn't really pimped. I mean, you know, going into Spider-Man 2 that it's Doc Ock, you know? Iron Man 2, it's Whiplash. Spider-Man 3, it's Eddie Brock and Sandman. Like, you know, going into these superhero movies, who the villain is. Now that I think back, like, Captain America 2, we didn't.
You did, because it was called The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So you knew to that extent.
And I guess I forgot about that part of it.
But Bucky's not like the top villain. You know what I mean? He's really
he's a piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess the Winter Soldier is the villain in the movie, I guess. And from the leading up to it wise, I forgot he was in that movie. Because it is a political thriller.
I forgot that the Winter Soldier was in Captain America, The Winter Soldier, which just... for reference, did come out back in 2014, directed by...
We switched from Joe Johnston to the Russo brothers.
Cleveland's own The Russo Brothers, starring Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Anthony Mackie, and Sebastian Stan as that Winter Soldier guy I've been hearing about.
And Bobby Redford.
and that guy, too. I think when we first heard that Robert Redford was going to be in a Marvel movie, we were like, holy crap, this is what Marvel's doing now. Like, they're getting...
Because you had Glenn Close sign on for Guardians.
Right.
Robert Redford here, Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange. Like, they're getting big time.
Big time critically acclaimed actors, not just people that are looking to either make a comeback or haven't really done anything yet. But we knew Robert Redford was cast. We didn't realize that he was going to be like the, you know,
the villain,
the central bad guy in the story, I guess. Right. Yeah. If you haven't seen it at this point, you know, it's only 2 years old, so I don't know what to do. This movie did know what to do. It opened number one in the box office on April 4th, 2014 to $117.6 million, rounding out the top five that week. Noah, Divergent, God's Not Dead, and The Grand Budapest Hotel. It went on to gross $259.7 million domestically, which ranks 84th all time. Dave, can you guess the movie that is right above it, often credited on this show as the first ever blockbuster from 1975? Jaws made $260 million in 1975. That just shows you how big Jaws was. We think of a movie like Captain America, Marvel movie. It's going to make a lot of money, and it did. But Jaws made more in 1975. Right below it, at number 85 all time, is the
Hangover.
No, not Hangover. It's not rated R, but it is a trilogy based on a book.
I don't know any other books.
They all came out in December. They were The Hobbit.
Oh, The Hobbits.
It's the second one, Desolation of Smog. Yeah, that one, 86th all time, starring a future Marvel superhero, I suppose.
And somebody in Winter Civil Soldier? War.
Civil War, yeah.
Martin Freeman's in
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Funny you mentioned The Hangover. The Hangover is 75th all time, so it's right around there. And another guy who's going to be in Civil War comes in at number 79. That'd be The Amazing Spider-Man.
Tom Holland?
No, I mean Spider-Man. Oh. Not Andrew Garfield. No, no.
No. A Tom Holland movie. I'm like, what?
No, I mean the Spider-Man, that fella.
I gotcha.
That's going to be in Civil War, from what I understand from the trailer.
Yeah. So, I mean, it made a lot of money for a good reason. I mean, this movie, it's on all the time. It's one of those that if you have, I think it's Stars, it's hard to turn on the TV and not have Avengers 2, Captain America 2, or Guardians of the Galaxy on at any given time. And this is one that I'll watch anytime it's on. I don't care what point it is. To be honest, I think I've only seen the movie all the way through.
In the theater?
In the theater the first time I saw it. I've seen it a million times, but I don't think from front to back I've seen it a whole lot.
I'm glad you mentioned Guardians and Avengers 2. If you look at Phase 2 as a whole, Captain America 2 wasn't the start of Phase 2. But I do think that it was the most influential of all those movies.
Oh, yeah.
From what I remember when I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the aftermath of Captain America 2 was like at least one entire season on that show came out of it with the whole Hydra thing. And I think the beginning of the movie really kind of sets Cap up to be somewhat skeptical of S.H.I.E.L.D., and their practices, which is going to kind of come home to roost in the Civil War. So I think there's a lot of stuff that it sort of sets in motion.
It plants a lot of seeds without...
That's a good way to say it.
Without feeling like it's planting a lot of seeds. It plants seeds that they're good in this movie. They make sense in this movie, but they're going to blossom into something 3 or 4 movies later. Marvel's been good at doing that, where something will happen in this movie that fits this movie, but then it's more relevant in another movie. Instead of, oh, we need this to be relevant in this movie, let's do it in this movie and let's just cram it in there.
But I feel like those were smaller pieces. You know what I mean? Like, they would bring in the Tesseract for Captain America. It came home to roost in the Avengers, which was awesome. That's a great example. But in this, to me, it seems like it's not just devices, it's themes. And that is really, really hard to do. It's not like it just sets the table for the sequel of Captain America, which it does, but it also set the stage for an entire season of the show and plenty of other stuff off of that.
I look at it as the Marvel TV universe, as far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is 100% dependent on the movie universe.
Right.
But I don't feel like the TV universe exists in the movie universe. If that makes sense. Like, the TVs exist in the movie universe on the TV side, but on the movie side, the TV show doesn't even exist.
I think you could see that changing if they bring Coulson back.
See, I don't want Coulson back.
I'm just saying.
Because, and you know what? This is off topic. Well, kind of off topic. First season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was rough until this movie came out. This saved that TV show. The rest of that season, leading into season 2, it's turned into a really good show.
Right.
Because of the events that took place here.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right with the theme, the helicarriers. Or not the helicarriers, the things at the end that are shooting everybody.
The whirlycopters.
Yeah, he doesn't like those. Like, that's fear. He even says to Nick Fury, that's not freedom, that's fear. Everything that happens there kind of gets you to Cap's mindset in Wachovia in the Avengers 2, where it's, we're not leaving anybody on this city, this flying city. Like, we're not leaving here unless every human that we can possibly save is saved, almost as retribution, because, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been an asshole this whole time. So, I mean, you kind of see that mindset leading up to the Wachovia Papers in Civil War and everything from there. And the distrust when Tony seems to become a shill for...
The shill for S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. that was for the government. You have that skepticism there, because at this point, who does he trust?
Which is even the theme in this one, is he's told not to trust anyone, and he is ostracized by S.H.I.E.L.D., which is actually Hydra at that point. But
and I like that everybody thought after the Avengers, like, oh, how do you have solo movies?
Mm-hmm.
Because why wouldn't they just call the Avengers?
Right.
Iron Man 3, I thought, did an okay job because he was isolated for most of that movie.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of on his own for most of it. Like, he was broke down in Tennessee with the kid from The Conjuring or whatever. But
Simpkins, right?
I think so, wasn't
Ty
it?
Ty Simpkins?
Yeah. But in this, he doesn't trust anybody. He doesn't even trust Black Widow when she's there. You know, like,
no, I mean, that right at the beginning of the movie when she's got a, well, that was your mission, this was mine. Yeah, it sets him, everybody.
So, I mean, who's he call? Tony Stark? No.
Right.
Banner? Like, he doesn't have anybody, so.
But he brings in a new guy in the Falcon. Some guy that's completely outside of S.H.I.E.L.D., outside of the Avengers. Just a dude that he can relate to as another soldier.
And we talk all the time how Marvel nails their casting. You know what? I wasn't a big Kristen Ritter fan, but I gave her the benefit of the doubt for Jessica Jones. And they were right. You know, like, she was perfect. Even if they make a decision that I'm not all for right away, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they've done so awesome. Falcon is the perfect thing to point at to that, because Falcon, he's gotten a lot better now, but Sam Wilson was never that cool of a comic character.
He's Captain America now. Because of Anthony Mackie.
And Anthony Mackie came in and brought this cool confidence to him and made him one of the highlights of a very awesome movie.
I forgot this was where Falcon showed up. Like, to me, I don't know what I thought, but like, he was so good that he's just always been in the MCU. And certainly he hasn't been. He's not even been in that many, to be perfectly honest.
No, he's been in this, Avengers 2, and Ant-Man. Yeah.
And very little bit in Avengers 2 and in Ant-Man.
Yeah. I mean, that casting was perfect. He just brought this character, and that's where Marvel is. That's why they're so strong, because if you rely on, I'm going to say, like, Captain America and Hulk were probably the bigger hitters, and Spider-Man, but that's down the road, because up until Favreau and Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man was a B character, but now he's one of the heavy hitters. And if you only rely on your heavy hitters, you're not going to get very far. So you need somebody like Falcon to come in.
Like DC's doing.
Yeah. So you need somebody like Falcon to come in, and Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow, who is risen to be
Or Jeremy Renner with Hawkeye. Like, exactly. I need a Hawkeye movie now.
Yeah. Or anything. Renner's talked about wanting to do a Netflix show. I'd be all for that.
Yeah.
Like,
please. West Coast Avengers.
You bring in somebody like Falcon because Marvel's not thinking until, right now they have a slate until 2019, 2020. It's not the end. They're not thinking like, if we get through 2020, we're good.
Let's wrap it up.
No, but you're not going to be able to rely on Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Hemsworth. Like, you're going to have to keep introducing these characters who maybe are lesser known characters, because if Cap dies at the end of Civil War, like, who's Captain America in the Avengers? Sebastian Stan has like a 10 picture deal, but do you make it Sam Wilson? There's a lot they can do with it. I would watch a Sam Wilson Captain America movie.
Absolutely.
I absolutely would. If Civil War is the close of the Chris Evans trilogy, and I would watch a new Captain America trilogy after Infinity War, starring Sam Wilson as Cap. I mean, he's so good. And it's right off the bat. The first two people you see are Captain America and Falcon, although you don't know he's Falcon at the time. But how perfect is that opening of
on
a
your
movie?
Left.
That's so good. Do you have any complaints about the movie?
If I'm being nitpicky, I think the length is an issue.
See, I'm fine with length if it's paced fine.
And the movie's like 3.5 hours long, and I do...
I never felt there were pacing issues, though.
I think there were certainly parts that they could have cut out or could have been shortened, but again, I really feel like I'm just nitpicking. I mean, I like the tone of the movie. It does make you feel like you're watching a Jack Ryan movie, just with a guy that throws a shield instead. I thought the acting was great. I mean, as much as it is a political thriller, it also feels a little bit like a buddy movie with
Captain America
and
Black Widow.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, we've seen superhero movies where they're essentially on their own, you know, Iron Man, Thor, whatever. And then we've seen the team-up movies, which are big, like the Avengers. But we haven't really seen something where it's like...
small and intimate like that.
Right. It's just a couple. It's pretty much it. I mean, Falcon shows up at the beginning and at the end. But really, most of the movie is Cap on his own or with Black Widow. And that's just something
we
haven't...
That's a formula. Get used to it, because Thor 3, Hulk has a giant part in Ragnarok. So it's going to be Banner and Thor kind of buddy-buddy.
Which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I loved those two starting in Avengers.
I like the idea of not seeing Banner until Infinity War. I like the idea of Hulk just disappearing until Infinity War. But whatever. They're so good.
Right. At this point, if Marvel decides they're going to do it, again, we're kind of like a bit chills for them. We have to just say, all right, it's probably going to be cool.
I kind of wanted a little bit more. They do it good at the start, but it kind of loses focus through the movie. It's touched on a little in Avengers, how Cap was frozen for 50-some years.
Right.
And there's some good jokes like, oh, I actually get that reference and
yes.
stuff like that in Avengers. And in this, the list right away, like, that was awesome.
Star Wars and or Trek.
Yeah. There's some references throughout, but, like, I would have liked to see more of that. Like, more him in the Apple store, I think would be, like, a culture shock. In a scene like that, I feel there's room for a little bit more. I'd like to see Falcon make more music recs along the way, like even just out of nowhere. Like, I like the idea of the list being a running thing.
Yeah.
It's in there once or twice and then it's just kind of gone. But other than that, I mean, it's the action's fantastic.
All the fight scenes I thought were really, really good.
The elevator scene?
Yeah, the elevator scene is amazing, and I actually like the Falcon, soon-to-be Crossbones, fight scene.
Yes.
I love that. That was shot so wonderfully, and basically just lifting shots from other movies. I thought it was great.
I'm glad you said shot, because that segues perfectly into what I want to say, is that Anthony Russo and Joe Russo, I don't think got enough credit. I mean, yes, they made a good movie. They made a fantastic movie. But if you break it down beyond just like, oh, it's a good Captain America movie, like, if you look at it from a filmmaking standpoint, this movie is gorgeous. It's a work of art. Like, it is gorgeous. And I want to tie Paul Greengrass to a chair, stick his eyelids open, and just have him watch this movie on repeat for 24 hours, because I hate shaky cam. I get shaky cam because it gives you the feeling of action. It gives you the feeling of something that's going on. But what the Russos do, it's all cuts. You'll see a 10-second sequence to where there's 4 or 5 cuts. Like, it's just bam, bam, bam. And that's far more effective than shaky cam, because you see everything that's going on.
Right.
If you watch the Nick Fury car chase scene...
It's a great car chase.
Yeah, the Falcon fight scene that you said. The elevator scene. Mm-hmm. You have this confined space, and they do a full-out 1-on-8 or 10-man fight without ever feeling constricted. The framing of that with the glass elevator helped a lot, but, I mean, if you just watch the action in this movie, I feel like anybody that wants to direct an action movie should watch this movie, because... it's done so well, and it's so subtle, because somebody like Greengrass, they do the shaky cam, and that's all you can focus on. But how many people walked out of this movie thinking like, oh, there were too many cuts? Those action scenes had too many cuts, because they're so flawless. They cut so quick, and it just feels natural. Like, you're going from point A to point B to point C to point D, and it's all right there. Never do they feel gratuitous. Never do they feel like they're just making cuts. It's not MTV style at all. And to get that from, for lack of a better term, TV directors blows my mind.
TV directors and the directors of You, Me, and Dupree.
Yeah. So
after having seen this movie, if you don't necessarily believe us that these guys are really competent, you just need to believe Marvel, as they were basically like, all right, hey, Russos, you guys did a fantastic job. Not only are we going to have you direct Captain America 3, but we're also going to give you the reins going forward, which essentially is what they've done.
At the end of the day, they're going to have four Marvel movies, which to get past two, Marvel doesn't really have a track record with that. Favreau did the first two.
Yeah.
Iron Man's.
Joss did the first two.
The first two Avengers. Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to have two Captain America movies and two Avengers movies from the same guys. And
well, if you break it down, each brother has two movies, I guess.
I guess.
So the math still works.
But I love Whedon. I really like Whedon. Avengers 2, upon further watches, I like it less and less. I still enjoy it. Not for direction. Watch the action scenes in the Avengers movies and watch the action scenes in Captain America, Winter Soldier. They're different. They're both fantastic. I love how Whedon pulls out these guys are working together.
Mm-hmm.
He gets really good shots of them working together. The Russos haven't really had a chance to do that until Civil War.
Right.
Like, you see it just in the trailer with the Bucky and Cap Iron Man.
Oh, God.
That
looks awesome.
I mean, like, I can't.
That's going to be my favorite Marvel movie. I haven't seen
it. It's
going
to be hard not to, but like, to let you peek behind the curtains. It's like the first week of April. Like, this, we're recording this like a month early.
It's early April.
We talk with this excitement. This isn't like, oh my God, we get to record this on Thursday and then we get to go see it like right after. This is us excited for a movie that comes out in a month. And as you're listening to this, it comes out in a day or two.
Right. I mean, that's why we're doing this episode.
This is us like amped up for a movie that we don't get to see for a month. And I am so amped for this movie. And I mean, that's the Marvel formula. Like, Avengers 2, it was okay. Ant-Man, I loved. But like this, I'm amped for. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm just basing off Captain America. If Avengers 2 and Ant-Man were stinkers, just based off Winter Soldier, like, I'm amped for this movie.
I don't want to say that necessarily I'm amped for it just because, like, all the characters
there's a lot
are
of
there.
Reasons I'm amped for.
Right, yeah. But I would be perhaps cautious about a movie like this. I would find something to have my spider sense tingling, like, gosh, I don't know if they're going to have too many characters that they're like trying to introduce Black Panther and trying to introduce Spider-Man and blah, 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 and work in Ant-Man and the characters that they've had. Like, that could be just too much. But with the Russos, I think it's going to come off
because
wonderfully.
Because you know what? There's a lot going on in Winter Soldier. Like, obviously, you're going to crank it up to 11 in Civil War, but between the Winter Soldier subplot, Cap and Black Widow, the whole Hydra thing unfolding, Robert Redford behind the scenes, Nick Fury
behind
the scenes.
The death of Nick Fury.
Like, there's a lot going on, and it's pieced together so smoothly and so nicely. My only fear is that Avengers 2 is a little jilted because you can tell the studio jumped in and took stuff out, and Whedon's even said
that.
The
Thor thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, and they had to cut out, so some of the stuff may not make sense. That's my only fear about this. Like, I trust them to handle the material they're given. Whether the material gets to stay in or not is kind of out of their hands.
Well, they made a 9-hour Captain America movie, so you add in a couple more heroes, and yeah, I think we're going to have like a mini-series on our hands.
Which I'm fine with.
But yeah,
I'm fine
I'll watch it. What the hell?
I mean, just seeing the stuff, and this is essentially Avengers 2.5. It's an Avengers movie, and my favorite part about the Avengers movies is seeing them work together. In the latest trailer, you have Hawkeye shooting an arrow with Ant-Man on it to jump onto Iron Man as he's flying. That's the stuff I live for. Like, you have Winter Soldier and Cap tossing the shield back and forth as they fight Iron Man. Like, yeah, that's what I want.
And I think the Russos will do a good job of shooting that and not making it look, I guess, cheesy, for lack of a better word. You're going to be able to see everything. If the fight scene in Winter Soldier doesn't come to mind, like the last fight scene with Cap and Bucky, the one that does is, not to keep referencing a movie that's the podcast isn't about, But, I mean, everybody knows that fight scene that you're talking about with Winter Soldier, Cap, and Iron Man
in
from the trailer for Civil War. Watching that, just that short clip of the trailer, it's a phenomenally shot scene.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on, and
right.
It's smooth.
And
that's
you
what
see
I mean.
It all.
The Russos have an eye for that, mm-hmm. and they're fantastic action directors that came out of nowhere, which I think is awesome. And another thing I'll say is the buildup of Crossbones. Back in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man days, studio was calling for Venom, and it's like, oh, you can't just set Venom up in one movie. You have to have a black suit movie and build up Venom, do a movie in the black
suit.
Build
up the symbiote,
essentially. Yeah, and then they took that approach with Crossbones here. It's like, you meet Rum Rao or whatever his name is.
Rum Lowe, I think.
Yeah.
Red Rum.
Yeah, Red Rum Rao. You meet him, and you see him as he's an ally of Cap. Oh, he's anti-Cap. Now he's a straight-up enemy of Cap.
Yeah.
Into what he becomes in Crossbones, which I think that's such a subtle thing that is awesome. And I trust what Marvel's doing that, and just part of me thinks, like, okay, unrelated. This Spider-Man that we meet in Civil War is a high school kid.
Mm-hmm.
The Spider-Man standalone movie is a coming-of-age story.
It's John Hughes movie.
It's taking
Spider-Man.
Place in high school. So tell me the sequel to that. Give me a teen angsty black suit Spider-Man.
Do you mean like Spider-Man 3 with emo Peter Parker?
No, like a kid who's actually going through his own angst with the symbiote, building it up for a whole movie that leads into a proper Venom, if they go the Venom route. I don't care if they do or not, because Spider-Man especially has dozens of villains that I'm fine with before.
At least six, I'm led to believe.
that I'm fine with before even seeing Venom, if we ever do. These Marvel movies are pretty good, and if you haven't been watching them, I would suggest checking them out.
Yes. And I like them for many reasons. One, I'm a giant child. I like superhero movies. I like action movies. I like a lot of movies, and apparently the Russos do too, because there were a lot of things that I didn't catch the first time around. But watching it a second and third time, I started to catch more of the self-referential, not necessarily self-referential stuff, but just like, I get that reference. They're referencing many, many other movies. And I've got just a list of a couple of them here. And the one is, it's not really a reference to film, but the Soldier of Fortune bad guy at the beginning that Cap fights when he throws the shield down and they just throw down with each other is Georges St. Pierre. It's a UFC guy, one of the maybe 5 years ago, he was like the perhaps UFC guy. And they make a reference later on. Falcon says that, you know, if he ever stopped being a superhero, he could become an ultimate fighter. And I thought that was kind of a nice little tip as well. At some point, Redford mentions fighting in the 101st, which was the division that he was in A Bridge Too Far. It was the fighting 101st. So it's a direct reference to that. I think when they're talking about SAT scores, that's a nod to The Perfect Score, which had Cap
Garland
and
Johansson.
Yes, exactly. Had them both in it, and I think that's kind of rad as well. And then my favorite, they save till the very end. It's when you go see Nick Fury's tombstone, and the little inscription on the bottom says, "The Path of the Righteous Man," obviously being a reference to Jules in Pulp Fiction. When I noticed that, I about fell out of my chair because I thought it was just amazing. More than that, I mentioned the Crossbones fight scene with the Falcon. There's a shot where they both go to punch each other at the same time, which is absolutely straight stolen from Rocky. And the Russos have no problem letting you know that. But I love that they can make such a great movie and put in little nods, and it doesn't seem like fan service-y. It doesn't necessarily stick out. They're just kind of like fun little Easter eggs in there that I like this movie enough to go back and watch it a couple times, and I'm sure the next time I watch it, I'll probably find some more.
I just found this, the catch-up list, the list we referenced,
mm-hmm.
It was different in the international versions.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the U.S. was I Love Lucy, Moon Landing,
yeah.
Berlin Wall, Up and Down, Steve Jobs, Disco, Thai Food, Star Wars, or Trek, Nirvana, Band, Rocky, Rocky II, and Trouble Man soundtrack. The UK version of the movie has the Beatles, Sean Connery, and Sherlock. Italian is Vasco Rossi, Roberto Benigni. The French version has The Fifth Element, the 98 World Cup, Daft Punk. Russian version is Yuri Gagarin, Moscow Does Not Believe in Tears. Brazil has Mamona's Assassins and Wagner Moura. South Korean mentions Ji-Sung Park, the soccer player. Spanish version, Rafael Nadal, Camilo Jose Cela, and the 1978 Constellation. Stuff like
very
that.
Very specific things.
Yeah, like stuff like that. That attention to detail blows my
Unless
mind.
You're a South Korean or a big Manchester United fan, you're probably not that familiar with Ji-Sung Park.
The Latin American versions mentioned Shakira.
Ah, like, yes. Like,
I love that.
I'm familiar with her.
Because that's such a good thing. And I hope the list comes back in this. Like, it'd be nice to have that. Cause
where he actually like crossed off a couple where he saw Star Wars. Yeah. Maybe
and
just
I'd
like episode
to have him
one
to make
was like,
a
I
reference.
Did not like that.
Yeah, I'd like to have him try to make a reference. Like,
yeah.
And Chris Evans is so good.
He's real good, yeah.
To watch his non-Captain America career, it's weird to think that he's this good.
Right role, right guy. Some guy that may not be good at anything else.
You know, I liked him. He was the original McAvoy turn. I used to hate Chris Evans until Sunshine, and then I wanted to watch everything Chris Evans did,
which
was
a
terrible point in my life.
Sunshine than it was Chris Evans, I think.
I found that out later.
Yes.
But he's so damn handsome that it was okay to get through all that. I watched the Nanny Diaries.
Maybe it wasn't a McAvoy turn. Maybe you just got sunshined, and that's going to be a new term going forward.
At some point, I saw the Nanny Diaries with him and Black Widow.
Yeah. There may be a reference to
Harvard Hottie.
To that in there, but I'm not sure. I'll have to dig further into Winter Soldier to find Nanny Diaries references. Perhaps.
Maybe they held off on it until the third one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a whole new movie full of references that we're going to be able to watch very, very quickly. If you pick up on them, let us know. If you find one in the theater or if you found one in Cap 2 that we haven't mentioned, you can get at us at MoviesOnUp on the Twitter. MoviesOnUp at gmail.com is the email, or get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. We'd love to hear about any Easter eggs you found.
I didn't say any of that at the beginning. So if you know what tagline the movie that I said was from, hit us up at those things that Ryan just said. It was something about you. Sometimes you go looking for what you want and then you find what you need. Something like that. Blah, blah, yada, yada, yada.
You can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
What you need.
I think that's it. Next week, we need to end this episode now. Next week, as mentioned earlier, is our big fourth year extrava.
Oh, I thought that was last week.
Nope, that's next week.
Oh, so disregard everything I said about it being last week. It is next week.
Yeah, last week was our big summer preview extravaganza.
I got our extravaganzas mismatched.
Crisscrossed, yeah. We have really so many extravaganzas, it's hard to keep them all straight. This is kind of the calm between the storms that is.
So next week is our big four-year anniversary episode. Hopefully we've reached out on Twitter to ask you what you want to see, and hopefully I'm sure we have awesome ideas for it and that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So tune in next week because it's a blast.
Until then.
Keep it up.